The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Well, Howard, because it is the last day of 5777, and because I adore my afternoon drive show team on the Chai FM, Your Afternoon with Howard Feldman, I am coming to you live from the Whiskey Bar and Museum from Sarona in Tel Aviv, because when you have a temperamental internet, what better thing to do than bugger off to Tel Aviv?
Absolutely amazing. I've actually heard about this this whiskey museum, and I haven't been. Is it absolutely fantastic?
It is absolutely fantastic, Howard, and I am inviting you live on the air for a wee dram the next time you are here.
All right, so we've got a lot of witnesses, and I'm definitely going to take you up on that. But, Rolene, as we speak, Trump and Netanyahu are very busy. What's going on?
Well, all eyes on the United Nations tonight, because it is UN General Assembly Week, and Bibi Netanyahu will be speaking at the UNGA later on tonight. All bets are on as to which prop pictures, stare downs he will use, but quite an eventful week so far. I mean, it's only been 2 days, but today he has met with President Trump on the sidelines of the United Nations. Yesterday, President Trump addressed a panel discussion where he said that the United Nations needs to better manage its budget, and it needs to streamline and become a more effective peacekeeping force, because it really seems to have fallen off the rails. So a very successful meeting between the two leaders, where Prime Minister Netanyahu said to him that not for many, many years and many administrations have we seen a president so supportive and such a friend of Israel as we have today, and where President Trump did reiterate wanting to move ahead with the negotiations with the Palestinians. The big issue for Netanyahu before any negotiations with our neighbors is what will be done about Iran.
So the bromance continues, and it's yet to be seen what Netanyahu has to say.
Well, plenty of bromances between Netanyahu and various leaders, because we had another very, very historical happening at the United Nations, where for the first time in history, Netanyahu and Sisi, who is the leader of Egypt, actually met in public. They have met privately in the past, but we have had the two leaders meeting in public. This is a very historical moment. It speaks volumes, and we've been discussing the whole week, Howard, about ties with our Arab neighbors actually warming. We spoke about Bahrain. We spoke last week about Saudi. Today we're speaking about Egypt. And another important meeting taking place at the UNGA, it was between the president of Rwanda and Bibi Netanyahu. So I know our dear friends out there who are absolutely doing cartwheels about the fact that the conference in Togo was postponed next month, and are saying that it's because of their efforts. Well, sorry to scupper that, darling, but it looks like Israel is making friends all around the world.
Absolutely incredible. I wonder what this means, though, to Sisi himself. It's a very brave move, because as it is, he doesn't have there's a lot of opposition to him, and now he's taking a photo opportunity with the Prime Minister. And of course, Israel and Egypt are friends. They have got a treaty, but that's still very different to being seen in public together and being seen as friends. What does this mean to Sisi back home?
I think this is a very, very interesting question, Howard, because over the last couple of days, not only have we seen Sisi meeting with Netanyahu and very, very publicly, but we've also seen Egypt hosting members of both Hamas and Fatah for reconciliatory talks. And what we have seen between those two parties is that they are prepared to move forward and work together, even though they both say that they will absolutely, under no certain terms, recognize the state of Israel. But it looks like Sisi's very much positioning himself as a major superpower within the Middle East, and perhaps the prominent broker should any kind of deal be brokered between Israel and her neighbors. It is very, very much an ever-changing Middle East. It's a very, very volatile region. especially with the rise of ISIS and other terror organizations, as we've seen in Syria. And there is Big Brother Iran, which is looming over the entire region.
Absolutely fascinating. Another development is that Hamas calls Fatah's leader in a bid for reconciliation. Is there any chance that Fatah and Hamas actually can make friends?
Well, this is one I think that we're going to have to wait and see. You know, I think that they have two very, very different camps that have a lot of different but very similar ideological leanings. Whereas they both are kind of united in their quest to rid the region of the state of Israel, one is much more extreme. There is a lot of shift and competition for power between those two parties. So to me, maybe I'm sounding a bit cynical, but it remains to be seen whether we can see any kind of reconciliation between the two parties.
Does reconciliation serve Israel? Or does it make things more difficult?
I think we're watching very, very cautiously. You know, we are concerned whether or not or how much influence Hamas will have over Fatah. So far, Fatah has been the more moderate of the two that we can negotiate with. I think Hamas very, very much wants to position themselves today as a much more moderate power so that they can have acceptance by the Western world, because they are still seen as a terror organization. A couple of months ago, we saw them trying to change the wording of their charter. And while some of the wording might be different, the subtext is still very, very much the same. So we're not getting terribly excited here in Israel, much more cautious.
Yeah, and it does remain to be seen how that develops. Rolina, during the course of the latter part of this morning or early afternoon, we had some reports from the north of Israel that there was some military action. Is there any update on that?
We do have an update. As you know, it was breaking news that a Patriot missile had been deployed. Now, Patriot missiles only shoot down major rockets or projectiles that are coming into the country. The update is that it was rumored to be a Syrian drone that the Patriot missile intercepted. And Patriot missiles, because they intercept very, very large projectiles, this must have been a very, very large drone. So as you can imagine, with Rosh Hashanah fast approaching and most of the country being unavailable for the next couple of days, you can be sure that we will have increased military presence in the north and that we will be watching now a lot more seriously.
Absolutely. Finally, before I let you go, tell us about what's going on at McGill University and BDS.
Well, sorry, BDS, but this week you are being dealt another epic fail, another big fat smacky smack smack. And this is by Canadian University McGill, which is in Montreal. It's one of the most elite universities. And last year they took a vote about BDS, and they voted that BDS is much more harmful than good on campus, that should they accept BDS and their activities, it creates marginalization. It makes one side much more important than the other. And in the last couple of days, they have ratified that resolution. So sorry, BDS, you have got a resounding kick in the tochet from McGill University to say you are not welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely fantastic. So, Rolene, tell us what's happening in Israel over the next few days. Israel is not used to a two-day chag. Rosh Hashanah is the only Jewish festival in Israel that is 2 days. And, of course, it's not only 2 days this year. It's 3 days because it goes directly into Shabbat. Israelis must be panicking. Here, outside of Israel, we're kind of used to the three-day story. But in Israel, this must be there must be some real anxiety out there.
There's some frantic cooking, I can tell you that for nothing. In fact, to be in the supermarket earlier today was a little bit like taking my life into my hands, because we won't be able to see out the chag on Thursday night. It will only come out on Saturday night. And as you know, supermarkets are closed, shops are closed, So there's frantic buying, frantic cooking, a lot of very, very vexed-looking women running around, and frantic preparations for the Chagim. But it is very, very festive, very, very spiritual, and just really a beautiful time of year. And for those of you who are weather watching, I spotted the first Krembel, which is a sure sign that winter is on the way. Krembel are, if you're familiar, very similar to sweetie pies. Mm-hmm. And so not only is it that time of the year where we reflect, we become introspective, and we plan for a new year, but we also plan for the oncoming winter. And because the shops are closed for the next 3-4 days, you can be sure that Krembel sales, as well as challah flour and wine, mm-hmm. off the roof at the moment.
Absolutely. In fact, I had a meeting with somebody earlier, and he's not of the Jewish faith, and he said to me his wife happened to go to the hypermarket and said, "Whew, some of those Jewish moms are very scary."
Well, I don't know what is scarier, our neighbors to the north, our neighbors to the south, or a very, very frantic Jewish woman who has to cook.
You're absolutely right. And my message to our listeners is, please don't be a scary mom. Nobody likes a scary mom. Time is 5:22. Rolene Marks, you have a Shana Tova. Thank you for your constant input, for your tremendous energy and wisdom. And from all of us here at Chai FM in the wishing you in Johannesburg, wishing you a fantastic, peaceful, happy, and contented year ahead.
Amen. And Shana Tova to everybody from Sarona Market, from the Whiskey Bar and Museum. May this year be filled with joy, health, peace, abundant blessings, and to the very, very, very special team at Chai FM. I couldn't wish for better people to work with, who really, really make my day every single day. And Howard, you are just a pleasure not only to work with, but you are the most prolific writer and opinion maker. And from your fans here in Israel, Saudi fans, Shana Tova.
Thanks, Rolene. Shana Tova to you.